Dreading the thought of having to talk to an audience of adults, Robert begged his father to explain that they had invited a 12-year-old. Greatly amused, Julius encouraged his son to accept this honor. On the designated evening, Robert showed up at the club with his parents, who proudly introduced their son as J. Robert Oppenheimer. The startled audience of geologists and amateur rock collectors burst out laughing when he stepped up to the podium. A wooden box had to be found for him to stand on so the audience could see more than the shock of his wiry black hair sticking up above the lectern. Shy and awkward, Robert nonetheless read his prepared remarks and was given a hearty round of applause. Is it any wonder Oppenheimer handled the challenges of his life so brilliantly? If you are someone whose father has made his way up in the business world, then you've seen firsthand what it means to negotiate your way out of a tight spot. If you're someone who was sent to the ethical culture school, then you aren't going to be intimidated by a row of Cambridge dons arrayed in judgment against you. If you studied physics at Harvard, then you know how to talk to an army general who did engineering just down the road at MIT. Chris Langan, by contrast, had only the bleakness of Bozeman and a home dominated by an angry, drunken stepfather. "Langan did this to all of us," said Mark. "We all have a true resentment of authority." That was the lesson Langan learned from his childhood. Distrust authority. Be independent. He never had a parent teach him, on the way to the doctor, how to speak up for himself and reason and negotiate with those in positions of authority. He didn't learn entitlement. He learned distrust, distance, and constraint. It may seem like a small thing, but it's a crippling handicap in navigating the world beyond Bozeman. "I couldn't get any financial aid either," Mark went on. "We had just zero knowledge, less than zero knowledge of the process. How to apply, the forms, checkbooks. It was not our environment." If Christopher had been born into a wealthy family, if he was the son of a doctor who was well-connected in some major market, I guarantee you he would have been one of those guys you read about, knocking back PhDs at 17, his brother Jeff says. It's the culture you find yourself in that determines that. The issue with Chris is that he was always too bored to actually sit there and listen to his teachers. If someone had recognized his intelligence, and if he was from a family where there was some kind of value on education, they would have made sure he wasn't bored. When the termites were into their adulthood, Terman looked at the records of 730 of the men and divided them into three groups. 150, the top 20%, fell into what Terman called the A group. These were the true success stories, the stars, the lawyers and physicians and engineers and academics. 90% of the A's graduated from college, and between them had earned 98 graduate degrees. The middle 60% were the B group, those who were doing satisfactorily. The bottom 150 were the C's, the one who Terman judged to have done the least with their superior mental ability. They were the postal workers and the struggling bookkeepers and the men lying on their couch at home without any job at all. 1/3 of the C's were college dropouts. 1/4 had only a high school diploma, and all 150 of the C's, each of whom at one point in their life had been dubbed a genius, had together earned a grand total of 8 graduate degrees.